so much. You have the back of your bulletin, you know, this morning that I'm preaching on grace giving. Pastor Brew did not know that beforehand. I'm grateful for the emphasis on grace this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, if you would please. I'll be there in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I appreciate the work that the missions committee has done. Boy, they've just done a tremendous job. And I appreciate that. Appreciate those of you that worked yesterday. Sorry about the campfire smell in here, but the campfire is right behind us there. And some crazy guy lit it on fire yesterday. So we did get a lot done here yesterday, and I appreciate those that invested in that. And then one other quick thing before we jump into the text of Scripture. Miss O'Malley, raise your hand at us. Most of you know her. She's right here. It's been a while, but she comes with Naomi periodically. Many of you know Brother John O'Malley. He is having open heart surgery on Wednesday. That just came out. Double or triple? I can't remember. It's triple. And really, it's the grace of God that he did not have a heart attack. He had massive blockage in many of those veins. Dear friend of our ministry here, connected, obviously, Brother Danny Whetstone, who is also with Worldwide, is preaching our missions conference, so which I think is kind of neat that Brother Danny can be here during that time, too, so the Lord worked that out. But pray for Brother John, the family, doctors, and all that that's going on, and then pray that Brother John will actually obey the doctors after he gets done with his surgery. That might be a bigger issue there, but please pray for him, and I know they would appreciate that very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I'm not going to read both chapters for you this morning. We'll work through them as we get through this, but this is a passage on what I've entitled grace giving. Faith, promise, mission giving is a part of it for sure, as we'll look through this. And I want us to just look this morning at some principles from these two chapters of Scripture about grace giving and exactly what God wants for us as we work through this. The 2 Corinthians was a book written to the church at Corinthians. It's the second time Paul's written. The first book, if you will, was a pretty good rebuke of some significant things that were happening in the church. And the people responded well to that. And Paul writes 2 Corinthians to commend them. Hey, you responded well. Now let me don't overreact in this area and so forth. He had challenged them to give. And he's going back to that subject in just a moment. He uses them, the Corinthian church, as an example, particularly to the churches of Macedonia, which included Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He would talk about this church at Corinth and how they gave. Later, he says he used the church at Corinth as provoking the churches of Macedonia to give. It was a wonderful thing. One author said this, in 2 Corinthians, Paul with great emotion tearfully lays bare his innermost feelings and loving care for the Corinthian believers. And this is just a couple of the chapters where he does that. It's a wonderful text of Scripture. We commonly know a few passages in here. In other words, if I were to ask you, you know, how are you supposed to give? Most people would say, you know, you're to give cheerfully. And well, that's from this text of Scripture in the context. So we'll look at it as we work through here. There's a central thought I'd like for us to see this morning. You must give by faith so that the gospel can go where you can't go. The truth is, all giving is done by faith. You believe what God said in His Word and you give because He said so. And you do that by faith, that God will reward what He said He would do. All of that is that way. Matter of fact, we talked last week, if you remember, that everything is by faith. God wants us to live our lives by faith. And our giving is no different than that as we approach that. So let's pick up in verse 1 of chapter 8. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." There's that word grace again. "Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." How that? "In a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, and abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And we'll stop there. We'll get some of the rest of the context here in just a little bit. I want us to look at some principles that I believe will help us this morning as we work through this. Number one, all faith giving begins with grace. It just doesn't matter. The only reason that we have any potential to give today is because God's been so abundantly good to us. He has demonstrated grace in our life. Paul wants us to be aware of the fact that God has been good. He said, I want to remind you that God has been good to you. We need to wit of the grace of God that's been bestowed. One of the Greek definitions for this particular word is the gift of grace or the bounty of grace. It's just been bestowed on us. It's been abundantly given to us. This comes with a joy as well. It's not, and Paul's going to deal with that in chapter 9, it's not a grudging feeling. Giving is the essence of grace, as one author said. It's the very essence of grace. So all faith begins with grace. All faith giving begins with grace. Has God manifested grace to you? That's the question. If He has, then there's an automatic response that comes with that as God's manifested the grace to us. The second truth. Faith giving has nothing to do with abundance, but with attitude. Okay? Faith giving has nothing to do with abundance, but attitude. Notice what he says here in verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of your liberality. Now, this is an interesting verse, isn't it? There's a lot of thoughts in that verse that don't typically go together. Matter of fact, very unpopular, if you will, the way they're pieced there. This is a large proving or trying of their character. He says they're in a great trial. Their character is being put to the max. And yet in the midst of that, in the midst of their affliction, they're pressing together their opposition, that which is working against them. In the midst of that, they're a super abundant joy demonstrated in their life. It's like, how is that possible? How can they have these difficult things going on? We don't know what all was happening, but one of those Paul mentions for us is their deep poverty. Now, the fact is, for most of us in this room, we've never gone through deep poverty. What we think is poverty, by the way, what Americans think is poverty is not poverty. The poorest people in America live better than at least 90% of the people in the world. The poorest in America. Most of us really don't know what it's like to be in deep poverty. But these people did. And yet in the midst of deep poverty, they had an overflowing joy. And not only did they have an overflowing joy, but they actually gave, and they gave sacrificially. They gave till it hurt. Well, maybe we shouldn't say till. Whatever they gave probably would have hurt at the very beginning. And yet these people were concerned about what was going on in other people's lives. What an amazing testimony this is for them. He uses the word liberality here. It's the word carries the idea of not a self-seeking, but it's an openness of heart manifested, by the way, through generosity. And he says this exposes their heart, and the way you see that heart is through the generous giving that they're doing. In other words, we know what their real character is like now. The world says it's impossible for these things to go together. You can't be happy going through a difficult trial, poor, and give abundantly. Those things don't go together. Because obviously, if you're going through a trial, you're not happy. And if you're poor, you're not giving. But God says all these things go together here. What a commendation He gives for them. So what's your excuse not to give? We could come up with some, couldn't we? Excuses? I got a school bill to pay. We just start filling in the blank. Paul and God, the Holy Spirit, actually puts this church up and says, whatever your excuse is, let me just put you next to this one. Now let's see how that goes. You know, you ever had a rough day and you feel like, man, things are just going bad, and you had this go wrong and this go wrong, and then you hear about a story of somebody else and you think, you know what, never mind. I'm not having a rough day at all. You know, lay our excuse for giving next to this passage. It really changes our perspective. The third truth that we see from this text, faith giving is beyond our power. Verse 3 says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." In other words, it wasn't just what they could give, but they went beyond what they could give. Now, again, that's like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean it's beyond that? I mean, they can't give something they don't have. Well, that's true. But when you promise to God, say, "God, if you'll bring it, I'll give it." And God has an amazing way of providing it for us. And it becomes an opportunity not only to build our faith, but we get excited about it. It's beyond our power. I remember the first time our Caleb, wanted to give to Faith Promise. I don't remember how much it was. I think it was 5 cents a week. Baby, do you remember? I was going to ask you. I think it was 5 cents a week, but I don't remember, honestly. But it was a little amount in comparison, but it was a huge amount to him because he didn't have any money. I mean, he had no money whatsoever. And so he talked to me about it. He was probably 4 or 5, I'm guessing. And so we filled out his little card, and he put it in, and he was excited, you know. Well, I think it was a week or two. It was not long. And missionary Mel Reed came to our house, and he just loved to interact with our kids, and they called him Grandpa Reed. And he would always bring the kids a gift, always. And so he brought, I think that year he brought the three girls a doll. That didn't go well with Caleb, so he was going to bring Caleb a gift. And then he said something to this effect: "Caleb, I was going to give you a gift, buddy, but I just didn't get a chance to get it." He said, "So I picked up a change jar, and here's your gift for this time." And he set a change jar down in front of him. And we went about our visit, and so then, after just a little bit, Caleb dumped his change out, and Brother Mel Reed was gone. He dumped his change out in the middle of the floor, and we're counting it. And I'll never forget, as we were separating all the money, his little eyes stopped, and they got big, and he said, "Daddy, this is my faith promise." What a precious thing that was. And we counted it out. We counted out his faith promise for the whole year. Put it aside, and then I took the rest of the money, and I said, "See, buddy, here's what God does. When you say, 'I'll give to God what you get,' you can't outgive him. God's going to make sure of that." Faith is beyond our power. He didn't have the power to give, but God allowed him to do so. So are you practicing faith giving? It's well beyond what you can calculate. It's God by faith, I'm going to do this. The fourth truth that we see from this text of Scripture: the purpose of faith giving is to impact others. Verse 4, "Pray in us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowshipping of the ministering to the saints." In other words, they were going to give this to someone else. Look at verses 13 and 14 of chapter 8. He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply of their want, that their abundance also may be a supply of your want, that there may be equality." Look at chapter 10 and verse 16. We'll jump all the way over two chapters. He says, all this given, as we work through that process, we'd get to it. He says, "To preach the gospel to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." So faith giving is about seeing other people's needs met. Now, it's clear from this text of Scripture that when you make sure that other people's needs are met, God's going to supply your needs. It's going to happen. Your fruit's going to increase as well. But it's primarily to impact those people. Next week at this time, we'll take up what we call Faith Promise Missions Cards. We ask you to fill out an amount. You don't have to put a name on there. That's between you and God. It allows us to plan a little bit. And you're saying, "Hey, we're going to do this for the regions beyond. None of that missions money do we help to build the buildings here or to take care of stuff here, to pay salaries or anything like that. That goes to missions. We want that to be beyond what we can do." So the purpose of faith giving is to impact others. This is the idea of this first verse that we read where he says, "Here, pray in us with much entreaty." If you and I were saying that today, we'd say they begged us to take it. They begged us to take it. By the way, this word "gift" here, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Do you know what the word is there? It's our word for grace. It's our word for grace. We have a fellowship together. We're joint participating and ministering to other people. Now this is really important this morning, okay? But sometimes we lose focus of that, all right? So we've been supporting the Mitchums for, ever. Not quite ever. probably 19 years. I was going to guess 20, something like that, okay? In Ukraine and now in Canada, right? Do you know what's neat about this whole process? We partner with them. That means we get to share in the victories and everything that God's doing, the souls that are saved. We get to be a part of that. We get to fellowship together. That's what that means. It's not just a check that goes out and is deposited in their account. But it is a check. You like that, don't you? You want to be careful how he says that, right? But that's part of it. We get to do that together. So this morning, the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church is all over the world. The ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church started, where are the young girls? Papua New Guinea's 12 hours, 14 behind us. They're ahead of us. So yeah, it'll take me a minute to figure out. Anyway, last night we were already investing, and we're going to keep investing throughout the rest of this day is what the point is, right? Hey, ministry's already happening. When I got up this morning at, well, I won't tell you what time I woke up. It's not when I wanted to wake up. But anyway, when I got up this morning by 5:30, when I checked my phone, I already had a message from Andy Bonikowski. Their services were already going on. Already had a blessing coming, you know. It's wonderful. We get to invest in those things to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. We give to missionaries, and we are partners with them in the work they're doing. It's a joint ministry, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege for us to do that. And the truth is, we want to impact people in our community too. The same gospel that Brother Roland is sharing in Vancouver Island is the same gospel we're sharing here. It's the same gospel that they're sharing in Spain and in Papua New Guinea and Almaty, Kazakhstan this morning. And we could go on all around the world, in South Africa and other places. It's the same gospel that Don and Karen will get on a plane in a little over 10 days or 11 days and fly to Liberia and share the gospel there. It's the same gospel. Praise the Lord for that. How much impact do you have based on your giving? It's a privilege to think about that. The fifth truth. Faith giving is about surrendering ourselves before our money. Look at verse 5 of this chapter 8. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Can I tell you, God would rather have you than your money. He would rather have you than your money. Sometimes, I'm not saying that this is all the time, but sometimes people give to soothe their conscience of what they're supposed to be doing and going. Now, the giving's good. I'm glad you give. But can I tell you that if you're giving and God's told you to go, by the way, if you go, you should give. Okay? I don't know where they are on this, but just because they're missionaries on the field doesn't mean they don't have to give. Okay, and our other missionaries too, and so that's part of it. But if God specifically tells you to go and you're given to do that, God's not pleased with that because that's called disobedience. He wants us to go if he's told us to go. Now listen, the truth is God hadn't told everybody to go. If he told, now, back up just a little bit. Everybody's to go somewhere, right? We're all to tell the gospel there, but not all of us will serve the Lord on a foreign field. But certain of us, he wants us to serve on a foreign field. And the truth is, you could give millions of dollars to missions and be disobedient and going, and you're still disobedient. So be careful what God really wants. He wants ourselves first. They surrendered to God, and then other things opened up. They surrendered to God first, and then their wallets were opened up. God wants more than your money. Do you remember in Luke chapter 18? There was a young man that came to Jesus and asked him what he needed to do to get into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible calls him a rich young ruler. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, sell all you have, give, and come follow me. Are you like, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus introducing a new way of salvation here? Nope. Same way of salvation. Jesus just happened to point to what his God was. And he wanted to deal with his God so that he could get to Jesus, the real God. Guess what the Bible tells us about this young man? He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. In other words, he wasn't willing to change his riches for God. He didn't take his riches with him. They all stayed here. And even if he enjoyed them immensely for his entire life, he still didn't take it with him. And boy, he could have given to God. Wow, what a difference that would have made. Sometimes it's easier to give our money and not ourselves. So the question for us this morning is, are you fully surrendered to God? Or are you like the passage we heard of this morning that says, we will not? This is what God said, we will not. I underlined those twice in my Bible. Two different verses that Brother Roland pointed out. Twice they said, we will not. Do you know what's interesting to me about that? Little rabbit trail here for just a moment. So many times I hear people say, if God would just write in the sky what he wants me to do, I'd obey it. No, you wouldn't. Because most of those people aren't doing what God's already written. Well, this is too big. Wish it was more simple, then maybe I'd obey it. No, you wouldn't. There's just one rule in the garden. Just one. Thou shalt not eat of the fruit. That's it. They couldn't obey that. The truth is, all of us need to admit that we just have a rebel heart. We just don't want to do what we're told to do, you know? That's just old flesh just rears up in us all the time. We will not surrender to God. The sixth truth that we see from this passage of Scripture is learning to give by faith is part of growth. Notice what he says in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. If you compare this passage of Scripture to the passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, you're going to see some similarities. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. No, they're not all there, but they're there. In other words, he's saying, as you're growing, as you're adding all of these things in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and your love, all those things are growing. See that you abound in this grace also. In other words, learn to give. Learn to as you grow in your walk with God, part of that will be learning how to give. This word abound here, see therefore that you abound in everything, is to exceed, to have an earnestness about it. As you grow in these other areas, grow in your giving, God says. So if your growing was measured in your giving, how's your growing? Did you get that? If your growing is measured in your giving, how's your growing? How does it measure in that process there? Number seven, truth from this text of Scripture. Faith giving is based on the amazing gift we have received. Notice what he says here in verses 8 and 9. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Look at verse 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Another passage of Scripture in here, he talks about thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How could we ever get even close to giving to God what he deserves? It's impossible for what he's given to us. And we don't even know it yet, do we? I mean, we know what we think, but we can't even imagine all that eternity is going to be like. When we get into eternity, we're going to realize what the grace of God actually did for us over and over and over and over and over again. It's amazing. Giving is part of the way we prove to God that we love him. It's not the only way, but it is part of the way that we prove that. God demonstrated the ultimate giving by sacrificing everything so that we might have everything. To say God was rich is an understatement, isn't it? Think about, if we would for a moment, every piece every ounce, if we could say it that way, every ounce of gold ever mined out of the earth over the century of the earth, over the history of the earth. I mean, I don't even know we could find a figure. Last I checked, do you know where the largest single nugget of gold was found in the United States? The largest single nugget of gold. North Carolina. North Carolina. Not real far from here. It's like, you didn't find it, I understand. I'm just saying that somebody found it, right? But imagine all the gold ever collected out of the earth. God spoke it into existence. Wow. God demonstrated the ultimate giving by sacrificing everything, again, so that we may have everything. God's gift to us is indescribable. We could not outgive him. Isaac Watts says it this way: when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride, were the whole realm of nature mine. Think about that phrase. Sometimes we sing those without really pausing. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Will you say thank you to God by helping others hear the good news that you heard? That's really what we're doing. It's just part of the way we say thank you. Truth 8. Faith-giving can provoke others to give. Faith-giving can provoke others to give. Chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know that the frowardness of your mind, for which I boasted of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal, there's our word for passion, your zeal hath provoked very many. This forwardness of your mind is the idea of a zeal of your mind, what you really wanted to do. And Paul says, I've been glorying in you. We would say today, he bragged on you guys for giving. That's the way we would say that today. He stirred him up. The word provoke means to stir up, to stimulate. He says, your zeal, the way you gave, has provoked people that I've told the story about. Hebrews 10 and verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So how has your giving excited others to give? Now that's an interesting thing, okay? Now, we've talked a little bit about this before. I understand the Word of God talks about don't let your left hand and your right hand, you know what your right hand's doing. And we've talked about the difference between, obviously, what people know is going on and the motive behind it. The truth is, sometimes God wants us to tell about the good works that he's done through us so that he can motivate other people. In other words, your zeal had provoked very many. You can't do that unless you tell them about it. Let your good works be seen of men. Now, I'm not saying you ought to walk around this morning and brag about what you've given. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, this year we committed to give a certain amount, and we just didn't have it. And boy, I want to tell you, God's done some amazing things. And you know what? All of your stories will be unique. We've had times where God's provided our faith promise through a gift. Just someone handed us a gift. And it's like, well, thank you, Lord. Wow, that was really neat. Sometimes it's been through work. God's provided it. Maybe an extra job or a pay raise at work or whatever. Sometimes it's just been through savings on the regular budget. Well, we gave and paid all the bills this month, and I'm not sure because that wasn't supposed to work that way. God can do it all kinds of ways. He can provide for us. It can provoke others. As you're giving, excited others to give. I've had people say this to me about this church. I've had multiple people say to me, it's pretty amazing what a church this size gives to missions. That means your zeal is provoking other people. What a huge blessing that is for us. The ninth truth. Faith giving is simply sowing seed. Faith giving is simply sowing seed. Verse chapter 9 and verse 6. Again, you know this passage of Scripture. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Again, you know the word sow. to scatter seed, to just put it out there, what God's doing. And to reap means to cut down the harvest. And God says, okay, what kind of harvest do you want? Well, then you got to plant something if you're going to do that. It's interesting. I intended to talk to Pastor Charette before this, and I don't remember. I think you started Faith Promise here, not the first year you pastored. I think it was 94. I think it was the year we came. I'm pretty sure about that. And so 25 years at this missions conference, Faith Promise has been practiced at Emmanuel. Do you know one of the criticisms that people have of Faith Promise? Is that it'll hurt the local church giving. If you just talk about it all, we can't do that. It'll hurt our local church giving. Well, number one, that means God's not going to keep his promises. That's the first thing that says, okay? And number two, if it does hurt the local church, but the gospel's getting out, that's not that big of a problem anyway. But in the first year, I don't have all the exact figures, but I can just give a personal testimony. In the first year of giving to Faith Promise, our general fund exploded. I don't think that's an overstatement, is it, Pastor? By the second year, I was added to staff. That's where the personal part comes in. Okay? And originally, Pastor Charette said, I've got a kind of a 3 to 5 year plan of adding you to staff slowly, and hopefully God will continue to provide the money. I was full-time on staff from the day I drew the first paycheck 1 year later. And in the midst of that, do you know what our Faith Promise was doing? It was just jumping. It goes back to this principle. A church can't outgive God any more than an individual can outgive God. It's neat. We went to Mexico in 99. I know I got to hurry, but I almost got through 11 points already. Y'all were surprised by that point. We went to Mexico in 99 on our first youth missions trip. And while we were there, we were helping a missionary. I think it was the bishops there in a town. And he said, boy, I tell you what I'd really like to do is I'd like to put a flyer on every door in this community. And I said, well, how many is that? He said, 3,000. I said, okay. He said, we can try to pay for it, but it would really put us in a bind. He said, I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm just telling you that's what we want to do. I called Pastor Charette, and Pastor said, pay for it. We'll figure out how to do that. I don't remember. That was like a Thursday, Friday, somewhere in that time period. On that Sunday, Emmanuel took up its largest offering to date in its general fund. That Sunday. Now, we've had some larger ones since then, but to date, it was like God said, oh yeah, see how this works. And he does that all the time. You can't outgive him. It's impossible. So what kind of harvest do you want? Truth 10. Faith giving is purposeful. The Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you see all those words in there? All abounding grace, sufficiency. I mean, it's like over and over again. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food and multiplied your seed sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything in all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. It doesn't sound like we're going to be hurting if we give, does it? When God's saying, I'll just give you all this over and over and over again. This word purposeth means before to choose. In other words, I decide that this is what God I'm going to give to God. This is a commitment that you make to God. Again, it's one of those things. We don't want to know your name, okay? The only thing we ask for is your Sunday school teacher. There's a reason for that. We don't want a preschool class given $20,000 a month. That might be a problem, right? And I'm just like, okay, yeah. Number one, I know the preschool director, and that's not coming from her, and it's probably not coming from the preschoolers, right? I'm just kidding, Betty. So we can kind of do some things with that, but it allows us then to plan. Okay, God, what do you want us to do in the future as well? Because the truth is, when we give to the missionary, we do that by faith as a church. The fact is, we don't have the money to pay the Mitchums for the next 10 years. We're doing that by faith. We've made a commitment to them, and we're going to give that, but we're only going to give it as God provides it. So they're taking a step of faith. We're taking a step of faith. God wants us to live that way. It's not to be painful. It's not even, this is important, it's not even commanded by the law. This is not something that God says you have to do or else. But he wants it to be a cheerful, joyful occasion. By the way, grace itself implies joy. One author said this, whereas the tithe is commanded in a measure of one's obedience, the offering is conditional and a measure of one's generosity. Pretty good statement. Corinthians made a promise to Paul, and Paul was asking them to keep those promises. So if you dread giving your money every week or month or whatever you have, you've missed part of the point. What kind of giver are you? So giving, faith giving is purposeful. And lastly, faith giving is the way to have your needs met. We've already read verses 8, 9, and 10. Now, I've heard people say, we don't give to get. And I understand that principle. But God promises if you give, you're going to get. He's going to meet your needs. He does that even with the idea of tithing. Prove me now therewith. Prove me. See what's going to happen. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven. And so, yes, we give so that our needs be met. You already know this, but the passage, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The context of that is given to someone else so the missions can go around the world. The people gave to Paul. He says, this is how God's going to meet your needs. God will meet our needs. People have said, aren't you worried that if you push faith promise with your people, that it'll cut down on other giving? I'm worried if we cut down on our missions, what God will do to our giving. I remember a number of years ago, and I'm going to hurry, we're almost done. But remember, we got a letter because we were the sending church for Matt and Satchio Sterin. Some of you men that's been deacons for a long time probably remember this. We had a church who said, we're cutting all our missionary support completely, without notice, just boom. All the missionary support is done until we can complete our gymnasium. I see Brother Billy shaking his head back there. You remember that letter, Brother Billy? I remember in the deacons meeting, all of us sitting around going, I don't think I'd want to be in that building. We've got buildings on this property, but God's provided those, and we've still met our missions commitments. We're not going to ask us to stop giving to missions so that we can build a building. God will provide, or we just won't have it. The truth is, there's missionaries this morning that are meeting in a bamboo hut. They're meeting in grass huts. They're meeting under trees. Bro, we'll be okay. Some of you are thinking, who's going to be okay? Well, the truth is, it'll just tell us how serious we are about church if we had to meet under a tree this morning, wouldn't it? We're pretty spoiled. The truth is, though, in 25 years, we've never met under a tree. I don't believe we've ever missed a bill. Paid on time. Praise the Lord. Do you have some need this morning? Give. You're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm just telling you, you can't outgive God. Do you want fruit to abound to your account? Then give. It's what God wants for us. We know that the church fulfilled what Paul asked of them because in Romans chapter 15, verse 26, it says, for it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. They did give. Interesting in closing, Robert Ledlaw was a successful businessman, and he also was a soul winner. At the age of 18, he began to tithe. At the age of 20, he would increase his giving as God prospered him. 15%, 20%, 25%. At the age of 25, he was given 50% of his income. He would later say this, that giving was not a question of generosity, but of honesty. God had entrusted him with a stewardship. Can I just tell you, I wish this morning we could take the next 30 minutes. I'm not. I know your roast is going to burn or whatever. I'm just saying. I wish we could take the next 30 minutes and just have people come up here to the podium and say, can I tell you what God's done in our life since we started Faith Promise? Can I tell you how God's provided this since we started Faith Promise? The fact is, when we started Faith Promise, the first time we ever heard about Faith Promise was right here at Emmanuel 25 years ago. And I walked out of here knowing a couple of things. Number one, we had to give. I just reached the conclusion, this is what God wants. We have to do it. Number two, we can't do it. Like, this is impossible. That would have been 94. We were just starting Bible college. We had three little girls at home. That first 4 months I was at Ambassador, I think I made $1,500. It may have been $3,000. But either way, it's pretty tough to live on that in 4 months, let alone give something else on top of that. God, that's not possible. I took my finals in December. To this day, I have no clue how that bill was paid. I don't have a clue. I know the final payment, whatever that was, which was probably enormous. It may have been the whole amount. Dr. Comfort said, are you taking finals this morning? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. Go take your final. Now, that's a problem on a number of accounts, because if I hadn't planned to take the finals and now I've got to go sit down and take a final, I didn't know that. But I actually had studied anyway, which was a good thing. Maybe Dr. Comfort paid. I don't know. I can't even think of how it happened. I could give you story after story after story about what God did that first semester. That just the first semester. One time we pulled up Thanksgiving night. The night before Thanksgiving, we pulled into a gas station. And by the way, we were driving almost 30 minutes to Emmanuel, so those of you that do that, we understood that too. Bone dry on gas. No money. I think I had $2 or $3. And I'm like, well, Lord, I got to put gas in the car, but I don't know what's going to happen next. Unbeknownst to me, somebody was in a pump over, paid all our gas. That same semester, my grandmother, who was sweet lady, I don't mean this negative about her at all, she never gave to me. I didn't get any Christmas presents from this grandmother. She just didn't give. It was just what she did. She loved us, but she never gave. I don't think I ever got a Christmas present or any kind of present. Birthday, nothing. I got a $400 check from her that semester. She's like, honey, she always called me that, honey, Granny can't figure out why, but God wants me to give you this money. I hope it's a blessing. Are you kidding? Yeah, it was a blessing, amen, you know. We got a refund from our insurance company that year. Our car insurance company. This is what the letter said. We have not had as many claims as we're supposed to have, so we're refunding part of your premium in this region. What? It was like a $40 check, which could have been $4,000 at that point. We needed it so bad, right? And I could go on and on. The weirdest coincidences, right? Can't outgive God. Father, help us as we approach missions conference that we would give by faith. Not because we have to. Because we want to. We get to be a part of these ministries. Oh, how precious that is. Help us. Lord, as we go into this week, we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to ask you this quick question. How many of you would say, Pastor, either I have been praying or I will pray about God having our role in the Faith Promise Missions Conference, and specifically about giving? You're like, look, Pastor, here's the deal. It's I may only give a dollar. Okay, give a dollar. God will take it and multiply it. But I mean, you'd say, Pastor, either I have been or I will pray about it. Just slip up your hand. I have been or I will pray about what God wants me to do. Wonderful. What a thrill that will be if God will just speak to our hearts. That's what I want. I've been praying. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for this? Father, would you work in hearts and lives? We love you. Thank you for being so good to us and giving to us. In your name we pray. Would you stand quietly? They're going to be in a quietly play. We're just going to have them play one stanza. Would you just pray there, standing in your seat? God, what do you want us to do? I'll be obedient, Lord, whatever it is I want you to do. Doesn't matter what your station is in life. God wants to work in your life.